Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, titled, Work Out Your Own Salvation. This is part 2 of 2.
What are you supposed to do? The Christians think they're smarter than Jesus. And so they think, well, if I rebuke them sharply, then they won't like me anymore. That's what it's all about, I guess, you being liked. That's somebody who isn't working out their salvation. So if you work out your salvation, you'll follow those 10 points and you'll be a very lonely person. That's why you need church. That's right. There's a reason God established local churches. It's because out in the real world, if you live for Jesus, you will suffer persecution. You will be a lonely man. So you come here so the other crazies will get together with you and we all can realize we're not alone.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for every crazy one of you right now. Amen. And those who aren't here that are normally here, thank God for every one of you.
Amen.
Love my crazy family. The world thinks we're a bunch of nuts.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be. This Christianity today, this idea that we want to be loved by the world, you're an antichrist. You've got the spirit of Antichrist on you. Christ was hated. He says you will be hated because it's not you, it's me they hate. And you have my spirit in you. They hate you because of me.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't hate you, then obviously you're not exuding the spirit of Christ. If you exude the spirit of Christ, they want to kill you.
Amen.
Works. The Bible says a lot about good works, but never for the sinner to be saved by works. Amen? It says a lot about good works. Matthew 5:16 says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. What? And glorify you. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what it says. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You see, the Spirit-filled child of God realizes when you do good works, you serve the Lord. Even when they hate you, they cuss at you, they call you names, God gets the glory. You say, how? God is glorified when the righteous praise Him. He's also glorified when the wicked curse Him. And He's going to be glorified throughout eternity when all those wicked people that you're so worried about liking you are burning in hell. And they're going to continue to curse the God they hate. And they're going to curse you too. But the question is, will they curse you because you didn't have the guts and the love in your heart to confront them? Or are they going to curse you because you did and they still hate you? I want everybody who knows me to curse me if they go to hell for eternity because they rejected what I tried to tell them and they still hate me for it. I don't want people down there in hell cursing me because I didn't tell them. Here's a word to women. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 says, In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair. And I want to say this. That doesn't mean you're always walking around going, I'm spiritual. What it does mean, though, is you're not walking around like this all the time. Because if it's a fake smile, that might be a lie. What I mean is, there's times where you smile to be nice. Nothing wrong with that. There's other times you're smiling because you're trying to get along with people you shouldn't be trying to get along with. See what I mean? That's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to judge you. And I'd smile more, but it makes my face hurt. I'd walk around like this all the time, but Jenny'd be like, stop doing that. That's creepy. But if you're a smiley kind of guy, there's nothing wrong with that. You're a smiley kind of girl. But there's times where you need to not laugh and smile. There's times where the world says and does things that you need to stop and say, no, that's wrong. That's what it says. Not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with what? Yeah. Now, I have to say, it doesn't say it's a sin if you fix your hair or try to look good. What it's saying is that's not how you show your love for the Lord, and that's no sign of your spiritual inward beauty. That's what it's saying. Is you, if you think you're impressing God and impressing other Christians by getting all dressed up and being all beautiful and everything, but then you won't serve the Lord with good works, you're fooling yourself. How many people do you know? I can name a bunch of women I know who are beautiful on the outside if you just look at them and say, whoa. But then as soon as you get around them, their inward nastiness destroys everything. A word to the man of God. 1 Timothy 3:16, 17, we quote verse 16 all the time, says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all what? Good works. If you're just studying the Bible so you can impress everybody how much you know, you're wasting your time. But if you're studying the Bible because you want to be used of God, and we talked about rebuking heretics and fighting the wicked, what's it say there? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. A word to young men. We have a few of them in here. Word to young men. Titus 2, 6 and 7. You got to memorize this. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. That means stay off drugs. Stay off the booze. Don't take and do things that are going to mess up your mind. And that includes meditation techniques and yoga and all that crap that Christians today are getting caught up into. Be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of what? Say it with me, young men. Come on. There you go. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, and so forth. Notice that the young men are supposed to know doctrine. If you guys are ignorant, it's your fault. It ain't your mom's fault. It ain't your preacher's fault. It ain't God's fault. Every one of you got a good Bible to read. And I'm glad to say I've talked to some of you about some of these things and I see growth. But it should be a lifelong thing. I'm going to have to say it, Charlie. Charlie and I, a few years back, there was a time where I had to tell him. I was the same way. Somebody had to tell me. I had a fellow who's my uncle, great uncle, who's with the Lord right now, tell me. You know, if you claim to be a Christian, you're a joke. I had to have somebody tell me that. And your age don't have nothing to do with it. You old folks ain't got no excuse. The young men, you can't use your youth as excuse either. All of you, everybody in this building, I've talked to all of you, know you're smart. I don't care how stupid people have told you you are, you're not. Amen. And you got a Bible, and you've got free Bible teaching here on Sundays and Wednesdays. Amen. You can get internet access. We've got over 800 hours of Bible study free of charge for you. Amen. Ain't nobody got any excuse for ignorance. Amen. And not knowing their doctrine. Now, in regard to the rapture, you ever think of works in regard to the rapture? Titus 2, 13, 14 says we're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's when we get raptured out, man. We're just totally gone from iniquity from that point forever. No more sin. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's because the world thinks you're a weirdo. Zealous of what? Zealous of good works. Amen. Yeah, the people who are raptured ought to be people who are zealous for good works. Amen. Or zealous of good works, as the text says. In regard to church attendance. Uh-oh. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's why we're here together. It's one of the reasons we come together. It's we fellowship. We pray together. We sing the great hymns and songs. And we study the Word. And we provoke unto love and to good works. This message today is to provoke you to love and to good works. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And as we see the day approaching, we had the letter we started with in our study that fellas talking about, you know, how seeing signs and the birth pangs and all that. Well, as we see the day approaching, we need this even more. If you're serving the Lord, you're living for the Lord, you're standing up and fighting the wicked and doing all the things you're supposed to be doing, preaching the gospel and not going along with the culture today and all that, you're going to be a very lonely person, but it's going to become even more lonely as the days go on.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's why you come together with a group of believers, provoking unto love and to good works. In regard to your witness to a lost world, 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. I got to stop there. That's exactly what these liberals today do to folks like us.
Yeah.
These godless, God-denying, Bible-rejecting liberals tell me on a regular basis that I am a fake pastor and I am a false teacher. Why? Because I preach against their sin. That's what it's all about. And it's been that way since the beginning.
Amen.
Whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we're supposed to be going along in our lives doing good works, working as unto the Lord, not for our glory, but for His glory. And yet the world out there looks at us and they see us and they have trouble really pinning us down on anything legitimate because we're busy doing good works. See how that works? So they got to make up stuff to accuse you of. So what do? They create sins that aren't really sins. Like the sin of being homophobia. The sin of homophobia. And you're a hater. Because you don't go along with the sodomites. See how that works? And so then they try to lump you in with the Westboro Baptist or you know, worse. That's what they'll do to you. And that's why it's great to come together with some people who are of like faith and like mind. We can see we're staying the course. We're not alone. Go to verse 13 now in Philippians 2. Because there might be somebody here who says, well, I want to work out my salvation. I want to let my salvation show. But I just constantly end up with my face in the dirt. I just am unable to really do anything. And that's because you're doing it in your own power. That's where you're trying to impress somebody. Rather than being saved and falling in love with the Lord and allowing Him to control you. The way it says in verse 13, read that. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
You see, it's all about your spiritual condition, that if the Spirit of God is in you and you are submissive to that Spirit, that means you're submissive to the Word of God. You take the Word of God in, you let it work out through you, but it's not even you doing it. It's His Spirit using His Word. So the more you fill yourself with the Word of God, the more you subject and submit yourself to Him, you'll find the works just being done.
Amen.
And here's another thing you're going to see. What ought to happen is you travel the road, and it's not like a roller coaster. Because too many times in Christians' lives, what you see is they'll get really hot for Jesus and on fire for the Lord for about 10 minutes. And then, something happens and then I just don't feel good. I don't feel like it. And then all of a sudden something happens and they, I'm back on the mountain again. And they're back down into the valley again. And I see that in some people's lives. It's just incredible. For years, that's all they've been doing. Up and down, up and down. And it's like a pinnacle and the valley is longer than the mountaintop. I've had preachers send me messages, I've got phone calls. And they'll say, you know, what you guys are doing are great. You know, I can see because our internet ministry is reaching over 100 different countries, all 50 states. We're approaching 2 million downloads on YouTube alone. And so these guys are like, well, I want to do that. And so they'll contact me. They'll say, how are you doing that? I say, we just do what we do, and we just keep doing it.
Amen.
That's all it is. If they were to come and spend a couple of weeks with me, they would be very unimpressed. They would. I mean, I spend a lot of time studying and a lot of time here at the church, and I'll be uploading things and running the vacuum or doing something that needs to be done. And then I, you know, we go out and do visitation or street ministry when we can. We do the things like the tracks and treats when we can. But I'm not a slave driver, and I don't stand up here and just browbeat everybody. You know, constantly, you know, we do what we can. They'd be very unimpressed. Why they're impressed when they see what the big picture is simply because we keep on keeping on.
Amen.
You can start today, and if you will just stay the course and keep not allow things to get you in the valley and to stop you, then if you just stay the course, you'll find months down the road, you'll turn around and you'll see, just like we talk about Bible study, if you just read the Bible daily, just read it daily, and then get in and do a little study when you can. You'll be amazed at your spiritual growth, but you can't get people to do that.
Yeah. Amen.
And God has made it. It's just like you physically, you get up in the morning, you hopefully you brush your teeth and, you know, most of the time take a shower, hopefully. You eat a breakfast, lunch, dinner. You eat if you eat healthy amounts of food and everything, you have all your nutrition and everything you need. That's the way it's supposed to be spiritually. You do it day in and day out.
Amen.
Keep on keeping on. And your works reveal what is in you. And this isn't as much for me to look at you and say, well, I can tell so and so. I can see. It's for you to look at yourself and to judge yourself.
Amen.
And say, you know, I don't show consistency. I don't show a real love for the Word of God. I don't show a real desire to serve the Lord. And you recognize this shortness,
Amen.
The shortcoming in your spiritual walk. Because it's only you who can then submit to God and allow Him to make the changes.
Yep. Amen.
So I'll end by saying, don't kid yourself. Go over to James 1. James 1. You all have to head out. God bless you. Have a great day. James 1, verse 21. I'll read that. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And then it says, verse 22, read that with me. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's why I said, don't kid yourself. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see that? I'm afraid there's a lot of guys who study the Bible, and they do. They study and they read and they study and they read, and they're good for nothing. What a shame. Let's end with a couple of final reminders of what's to come and how our works affect that. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Beginning verse 10. Verse 10 starts by saying, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? It's talking about judging them on things that God hasn't really said, but you've set up your own standards.
Yeah.
Wrong judgment. And then pushing him away based on those things. Happens a whole lot. And it says, for we shall what? All stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
Verse 11, we ended in our study last time by quoting this, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Read verse 12. "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." If no other motivation, right there, you got it. You serve the Lord, work as unto the Lord, and there's coming a payday. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning verse 9. It says, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of Him." So we labor because we know we're saved, we're going to heaven, but we want to be accepted of Him in our personal daily walk with Him before that time comes. Verse 10, read that. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There's a lot of Christians have been taught falsely that you're never going to answer for the way you live your Christian life, and that's a lie. We're all going to stand and give an account, not for our sins. Our sins were judged at the cross. But your works will be judged. Verse 11, read that. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Now, the terror of the Lord, and we're taught today, oh, there's no fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Go read those texts in context. You're not to fear losing your salvation, and you're not to fear other men, but there is a place for fear in your life if you're not living the way God has called you to live. What do you fear? There are a number of things. Number one, you should just fear making God unhappy, because He will chastise you. You should fear loss of reward. There are things to fear. And it would be a terrible thing, talking about the terror of the Lord, to stand before our holy God who saved you from an eternal hell, and you stand there and see that your works burn up in smoke. I just don't want anybody to face that, especially in ignorance. So close, let's go back to our text. In what we've discussed, all these points we brought up, now you read this, I hope you get the message loud and clear. Read it with me, verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure."
Works of men is proved by none, and we're one. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Jesus died.
Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world.
Yeah.